Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to Scanline Tabletop, and in particular, The Ghosts of Parliament, our ongoing Blades in the Dark campaign. I'm Six Detmar, your GM.
I'm Jennifer Uncle, and I forget exactly which character I'm playing in this side story.
Sarah's.
Oh, yeah, Sarah's.
Sarah's Indigo. And hi, I'm Kyrie Page. I'm playing Qualen Verdict in this particular scene. Like, for the listener who may be like just listening to these episodes, it'll be back to back.
I mean, the other one came out like a month ago. Anyway.
We're back. Ooh, at the tabletop. We're tabletopping.
If I click and hold, I can make a little circle that goes wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Sorry, having fun in Roll 20. Fun, relatively speaking. Yeah, so as we left off, your situation was as such. You had under the lead, the guidance of, leadership. Let's say leadership, not guidance, of Chael Gallagher. You three were attempting to rob a bank. You infiltrated under the auspices of being a basically representatives of a gang that wanted to deposit money there. Mm-hmm. Then you, via violence, made your way to the bank vault, at which point security prepped a counter response. They are blocking what seems like the only way back upstairs with a Gatling gun. At this point, the fourth member of your gang, who has introduced herself as Elizabeth, but you know as your rival Delilah, Quellen, mm-hmm. Introduced themselves and basically tossed out a vial containing a ghost of, like, an ancient ancestor of a wolf. A big, scary, like, bull-like wolf with a horn. That's sort of the short pitch on that. And you were all hiding inside the bank vault, and that's sort of where we stopped.
Quite a pickle. We've been brining.
A bit of a pickle.
Yeah, we started as cucumbers, and now we've been brining in this stuff for a while, and now we're in pickle.
So it's actually been kind of awkward in the last few moments, right? Because the Gatling gun has been pointed at, you know, the bank vault. You all have been crammed in the bank vault. You cut away the door, but the... And sort of it's hanging on by like one hinge. It's not really in a state to properly close. But the bank vault itself is, of course, wider than the door itself. So you're sort of hiding in the sides of the metal door frame,
mm-hmm.
which mm-hmm. hopefully will be enough to stop the bullets, right? But you are kind of cramped in there trying to squeeze yourself up against the wall, up against safety deposit boxes and stuff to stay safe. This specter, this ghost of a long dead wolf ancestor, is sort of like crouched, like growling and like sort of like ready to pounce at the Gatling gun. And the crew of the Gatling gun is aiming the gun in your direction, but they're not firing, partially because they're not sure they would hit, and partially because they don't want to piss the wolf off. And it's just been this sort of awkward standoff for a little bit, not like a super long time, but long enough, given how fast things have been moving, that it feels very strange.
Right? It has been going on for a dramatic beat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And finally, it's not quite silence, because it is silent enough that it can't be silent, right? Everyone is being quiet enough that you can hear, the gentle whirring of the Gatling gun. You can hear the creaking as the one stairwell that got blown up is still sort of shifting from in the wake of that blast. You can hear the creak of Chael's leather armor as she sort of shifts in position. So it's that's the noisiest kind of silence. And that is broken by one of the guards from the Gatling gun saying, "We want to negotiate."
Okay, what did you have in mind?
Why are you... We're trying to get you out. Release your hostage. Jen, Sarah's is still disguised as a guard and has not done anything criminal in their presence. Has only run for cover.
Oh. Rewind then. Rewind then, maybe.
No, if you want, or it could be a moment of you like genuinely being surprised. I mean, like, I don't know, maybe, listen, maybe Stockholm Syndrome hits real fast.
They're like, oh, God, she's...
sorry, my head's kind of still ringing from all the explosions. I need a moment.
Oh, I have a case of the vapors.
This is what happens when we step away for a while.
To be fair, I think even during the session you'd forgotten, but...
Yeah.
There's a beat, and they're like, so what will it take for you to let your prisoner go? Your hostage, I guess. You're not in jail, so it's not a prisoner.
Hostage is the most accurate.
Okay, I'm glad we worked out that linguistical dilemma.
Exactly. If we can work out this dilemma, we can work out others, right?
You are a strange bank robber, but I am into this.
Okay. So for we have a moment, and we have it seems to them that we have a hostage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is one card up our sleeve.
Weren't we investigating whether there was, like, a path underneath, like, a place we could break through to leave?
Yeah, I think the conclusion you came to is it's not impossible, but it's not very feasible.
Okay.
Like, if you were able to blow things up, you might be able to reach it, but it's not, like, directly accessible.
Okay.
So there's no real point in me, like, bringing forth my guiding light and, you know, consulting the Ash Twin for, like, an alternate exit.
I mean, I'm not going to say there's no point, but it doesn't occur to me as an idea I would do, like, I would have high on my priority list, I would say.
Sure. Okay.
I mean, you know, the nature of this game is you do moves and we make rolls and then stuff happens. So, you know, possibly something good will happen. But given what's been established, it doesn't seem super productive.
By the way, during this negotiation, is someone like holding up a gun or knife to my head?
Well, they can't see us.
Oh, yeah. True.
If you want that, I mean...
I mean, that, I imagine if there is a quote-unquote trade... Someone will be walking me forward with something like that.
Well, I mean... An idea could be... Like... We give you up to the authorities here, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you, like... I don't know, take them out while their backs are turned, that kind of thing.
That seems like... I imagine there's a number of people down here. I don't think that's super feasible.
How many people are down here besides the four of us?
I mean, they're on the stairs, so they're not technically... Like, they're sort of like half a floor up in a way. But there's a crew of seven of them.
Okay.
Yeah, so
there were 10, but you blew up a stairwell and some people got hurt. Not that you knew that. This is new information, so.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, 1v7, that doesn't seem like great odds to me. Unless I took out one of them and y'all took the opportunity to rush in and take care of the others. I don't know.
Well, I feel like the direct approach is... Maybe not in our best interest right now. Because it's 7v4. And How many people are... I'm trying to think of the things that I can do here.
It's kind of 7v5, because you might have that wolf thing.
We might have that wolf thing, but I don't trust Delilah as far as I can throw her.
And I don't think Delilah trusts this thing. I mean, she went to a spooky flea market and got a ghost of an old wolf in a jar. Doesn't mean it's gonna listen to her.
So Elizabeth, was it?
Are you saying this?
Yes, I am saying this.
Yes.
Where in the world did you find that wolf thing?
You can find all sorts of things at the night market. I mean, if we get out of this, I could show you some shops, but I don't think a description would be very useful. They tend to move their positions around there for the more interesting goods.
Last time he took me to his shop, I was the one left holding the bag.
I don't think we've worked together before, but generally in this line of work, isn't it a good thing to hold the bag? It's got the money in it, right?
Whatever. All right.
This is score that one to Delilah.
It's like, gee, I guess you're right, Delilah. Okay.
Do you think you could do something to make it go at them? I admit my plan didn't go much further than throwing it out. I kind of figured they'd panic and shoot at it and then it would attack them, but that hasn't happened so far. Do you, either of you have dog treats on you?
Hmm. Well, will you look at that? I didn't know.
I mean, what else would someone like you eat?
Damn it.
Got me again. Let's see. What if I still have one free slot, don't I?
Sure.
What if I had, a dog whistle?
What in your minds is a dog whistle, Jen?
You know, the kind of whistle you use to train dogs, and then you blow it and they do commands.
Yeah, it is a whistle that blows in a tone that dogs can hear but humans cannot, right?
Yeah.
Generally,
dogs aren't born with a reaction to it.
Oh, yeah, good point.
It's not like a magic mind control device for dogs.
Okay. Tell me about some of the objects in this safe.
So that's kind of hard to do because mostly it is money and like gold bars and stuff on the table. Most of the items are locked away in safety deposit boxes, which sort of surround you. They are making up the wall, as it were. There is, I believe I mentioned before, there is a fire axe in a case below the along the crown molding to the bottom below the safety deposit boxes. Mm. There is also a cart that does have a few random knickknacks. If you had a reasonable request, I could put something on there.
Okay.
But it would have to be basically a valuable, right? It's not going to be a gun or a smoke bomb or something. It's something that someone would want to file in a bank.
Right. In a criminal bank, no less, but a bank.
Well, this bank is not criminal. This bank is interested in becoming criminal. But at the moment, it's, you know, the thing about the ultra rich is when you serve the ultra rich, nothing you do is illegal because they write the law.
Damn, it's true.
So.
Do dog ghosts like meat?
I don't know, Sarahs. How much experience do you have feeding dog ghosts?
None.
Okay.
I'm just curious.
Do they dream of ghost sheep?
I was thinking about whether it'd be possible to throw a slab of meat at the Gatling gun and see what happens.
I think there'd be, okay, so first of all, it'd be a weird thing to do just generally, and then also if the hostage was the one that did it, that'd be even weirder.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have a lot of questions if the hostage stepped out of the bank vault and threw a New York strip steak at them.
Hey, there's my lunch.
Kyrie, save your girlfriend.
I'm trying. I'm desperately, desperately trying. I want to. Okay. Trying to think of things that could be inside of a bank that would be helpful to us in this scenario. Like, usually the things people lock up is, you know, jewelry or documents,
mm-hmm.
things of that nature.
Why don't you, let me look at your character sheet here. Let me look at Quellen.
Okay.
Why don't you make an attune fortune roll?
Okay. Let's do it. Below here. Attune fortune roll. So just roll.
I'm sure you know this, but just as a reminder for everyone involved, including the listener, a fortune roll is a roll where it can't go bad. It's just if it goes well, something nice happens.
Okay.
Sometimes you get lucky. Got a five.
That's pretty good. Okay. So you are sort of sweeping over like the items on the cart, and it's like it is, you know, it's documents, it's gold trinkets. There's like a gold like walking cane or something. There are a bunch of these, you know, various valuable items, and one of them you sort of get a like, as you're looking over them, it's, you are just looking at things, right? And then one of them, when your eyes settle upon it, it's like, It's a very strange feeling. It's sort of like magic eye, but not really. Basically, what happens is you're looking at them, and then the moment your eyes lay upon this one item, it's like your depth perception just freaks out. It's like suddenly you are looking into a pit that is almost bottomless, right? And your eyes are just trying to adjust to what you're seeing. And it's hard to look at this thing. It is a wooden carved like half mask, and with your attune abilities, with your abilities to sense, you know, like the supernatural and ghost things, the vibes you are getting is that this is an item that was important to someone who died and through that gained some sort of properties. You are not clear on anything else. You don't have, you know, a refined enough ability in this field to narrow down like what exactly happened and what exactly this thing does.
So should we take it and see what happens?
You should probably just put it on. Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally like the good thing to do. Mm-hmm. To mm-hmm. You get the spooky mask, you put it on.
It's actually Majori's mask, so it's fine.
Sure. I guess, is there, unfortunately, I would have to set a small fire to consult the Ash Twin on this one.
The woods, the mask's made of wood, as I think I mentioned, so.
And I have an ability called Matchstick Puzzle. Burning an object to ash gives you intimate knowledge of its history. But
then what are we going to do with the mask if you burn it up?
I'll learn
also, what's
something.
The mask? Also, what's the mask gonna do to you if it's haunted and you burn it?
This mask is interesting, to say the least.
I am going to send you a DM on Discord.
Okay.
So you're hiding something from me, huh?
I'm hiding something from the listener, really.
Oh, okay.
If Kyria decides to do it.
So do I get the sensation that there is something, like, living in this mask?
It's... Do you ever, like... I feel like the one of the most, like, commonly associated ones... I mean, this is wood, right? And so a great example is, like, walking through the woods at night, right? Mm-hmm. And you see a tree that is in a very weird shape, and the light catches it just so that you'd swear it looks like a living thing. And you're like, you know it's not, but you can't put that part of that thought out of your mind.
Right.
I think it's a very similar vibe. It's like, you are looking at this and you're like, logically speaking, this thing can't be alive, but a lot of, like, your sense of the supernatural and sort of, like, the prickling on the back of your neck is, like, yelling that the opposite is true. And they can be wrong. They can easily be wrong. But you're just getting weird vibes off of this thing.
All right. I'm going to ask a question here.
Mm-hmm.
What is this mask's greatest desire?
So, what does asking it look like?
I think that... I think the way what this looks like is that... I feel like there is just a sensation of, like, you know, you're drinking deep of someone's soul. Like, it is, like, what it looks like is, Quellen takes, like, a pinch of ash and just, like, rubs it between her fingers. And I think that it like, I'm trying to think of something that's, like, evocative here, but I was thinking of, like...
Well, I mean, part of this, I think, I could imagine this being entirely mental, because you're going to look like a real weirdo if you bend down real close to this mask and are like, what do you want? Your squad mate's going to be like, what the fuck are you doing? And you'll get an answer, so.
Okay. I think it's just, I got something evocative. Like, for a moment, if anyone were to observe this, like Quellen's eyes go black as pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's within that moment Quellen can see, like, deep into someone's soul.
Mm.
For only a moment, though. But it is a powerful connection.
That's pretty good.
I think what you see is... It's sort of a... It's one of those things where it's hard to communicate because we're just normal people and we don't have these kinds of powers. And I don't want to make this description take all day. So I will kind of... I'll use some cheap shorthand and say, like, it's kind of like a montage, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see, like, a son of a noble who, like, very young, and you see them, like... You get the sense of, over the years, them gradually becoming conscious of not... If you can't call them class conscious, right? They're not some, like, Robin Hood. But they come aware of the fact that they just hate rich people. And they just like seeing rich people get screwed over. And as they grow up, they start to be a real, like, trouble child. And eventually they start going out at night and robbing other nobles. And they don't keep the money. They don't fucking care.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to hurt these people. They think it's funny. They think it's satisfying. And they become a legend. They become Narek IV, the Phantom Thief. And then you have a moment where you realize people usually use Phantom Thief as a colloquialism to refer to the fact that they are hard to catch. They're extremely elusive. Narek the Phantom Thief literally became a phantom. This mask is the thief. He planted himself here. And given certain criteria, he can manifest. His greatest desire is just to really make rich people have a bad day. The cane you saw is also his. So the mask and the cane, basically, the mask is him as a person, and then the cane is his. And given certain criteria, he would wake up. You're not sure, you know, you don't get enough specifics to know if, like, he's waiting for a trigger, or he's waiting his moment, or something's gone wrong, but here he is.
What if I just put on the mask?
Do it.
So it's like this guy has been passed out and passed off as legend, and
but yeah, he's become, and they're like, the tales of him vary. There are versions of him where he is told as being this like Robin Hood figure. But those are sort of the more fanciful ones that get told to, like, children. The more common version is fairly accurate. He didn't make any effort to hide what he was. It's just, like, there's this thief who has, like, a good sense of style. And we like him because he makes the people we don't like hurt. He's not, like, necessarily a good person. It's just sort of, like, we as, you know, he is popular among especially the poor folk. Because it's, like, yeah, fuck rich people, right? Which, you know. Fair enough.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that everyone on this side of the bank vault can agree with that assessment, so...
Sure, sure.
It seems like this Phantom Thieves' goals and ours are currently aligned.
And I think there are even stories. There are stories that get told, and there are sort of... A lot of them are dismissed as being fanciful just because they feel unreal in a way, but there are stories of Narek helping out other thieves, of like meeting up with them on jobs and just helping them pull off the job and not asking for a cut because he's already rich and he doesn't care. And people tend to write that off because it's like, come on, no one would help you out without a cut. But given what you've seen, it's like, that seems feasible.
Yeah, someone just kind of putting themselves in a bank vault like this and hanging out till someone uses them for bank heist shit. That seems like he's just in it for the bank heist.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't know necessarily the criteria for activating him, but, you know, there could be multiple. Or it could be putting on the mask won't do anything, but...
Let's see. I still have arcane implements, if that helps me in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like summoning this Phantom Thief might actually help us out of this jam.
It might.
Actually, I ask Chael what she knows about the Phantom Thief. Like, have you ever heard the story of... What was the name again? I'm sorry.
Narek.
Narek. Have you ever heard the story of Narek the Phantom Thief?
I think she says, like, I've heard the name. I don't know. I don't have much time for stories. Don't we have other things to worry about right now?
We do, but this... I have a strong sense that this might help us.
I think Delilah's watching you very closely. Because this is what Quellen's like. Chael doesn't really know that, but Delilah knows from what past interactions you've had that, like, Quellen... messes with the supernatural, and when Quellen is like this, Quellen is up to something. So, mm-hmm.
Can I inspect the walking stick?
Sure. Make a study roll.
Okay. What's my position?
That's a great. I think it's risky standard because of other, like, you yourself are kind of in a controlled situation.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, but there are enough other variables going on. There are enough things that could happen that I think it's risky.
I'm going to. It's too stressed to push, right?
Yes, it is.
All right, I'm going to push myself for two to get a okay. bonus die.
All right.
That's one bonus die.
All right.
Oof. One and three.
So, I think you, you pick up the cane, right? Mm-hmm. And you run your fingers along it. It is, the top of it is gold. It has, like, a gold topper, and then it goes to, like, sort of a deep, like, oak wood, stained for extra, you know, color. And, you're running your fingers along it, trying to sort of discover any, like, secret part of it, and you find one, but you sort of, it's, you, before you realize you found it, the end of it shoots, a gun blast, right? At the bottom of the cane. You accidentally triggered that. So that's one thing that happens, and it sort of triggers other things, right? The ancient wolf creature leaps for the Gatling gun. The Gatling gun opens fire. The bullets are not hitting this wolf because it's a specter.
Mm-hmm.
Which means they keep going and they start screaming into the vault, just plunking into safety deposit boxes, hitting the table, knocking over the cart. Stuff is flying into the air. I think you have to sort of flinch back into cover. Which you were mostly in cover, but you know you're starting to extend yourself out towards this cart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you duck down and you're looking, and when you look back up, you're looking at the cart and you don't see the mask anymore.
Well,
okay.
It's safe to say that the mask is just gone, right?
What do you mean by that?
It has left the scene.
I mean, there's nothing saying that it is. It's just it would require me to look for it.
I mean, I don't think there's reason to believe it has teleported.
Okay.
I would say something has happened that you cannot currently see it. I mean, maybe it is gone, maybe it's not. I don't think you have any reason to know either way.
Okay.
But like when you drop your pencil, you don't be like, well, I guess that pencil doesn't exist anymore, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, but a mask is bigger than a pencil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe the cart's on top of it. Maybe it got knocked under the table. Maybe, I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I do know is the thing, but you know.
Right. Yeah.
As GM, I can't say I don't know because I literally do, but
okay. I gotta take a big risk here. I'm going to call upon the guiding light.
Okay.
And say, like, basically asking the Ash Twin, like, I need the services of the Phantom Thief.
It's a good enough idea that I don't need you to make a roll here. Okay. I'm going to give it to you for free.
Mm-hmm.
I think you sort of like lift up. It's like a little pendant, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think you lift it up like sort of like that's wrapped around your hand and it's dangling and it's going to like point.
Like I feel its pull.
Right. and you open your eyes, and it is pulling towards Delilah, and she rolls her eyes and pulls the mask out of her jacket. It's like, fine. I just wanted some loot.
Excellent.
Okay.
Like I'm not allowed to get a bonus around here. Jeez.
I'm going to put on the mask.
Okay. So, let's see. What kind of role is this? It's not exactly harm. I think you're rolling a resolve resistance.
Okay.
So go ahead and roll that, and then we'll talk.
Just no click bonus the word dice? Resolve.
No bonus dice. No.
I got a 4.
Okay. Oh, wait, that's if you want to resist it, actually. Right.
Yeah.
So we'll keep that roll in case you want to use it. Do you want to become a different character for a little while, or do you want to stay in control? By which I mean, are you letting Narek take over your body? Or are you like, hey, you can give me advice, but don't backseat me?
Good.
If it's the latter, we're using your resist roll. If you're just letting it happen, no stress for that.
That's a interesting choice. I think I'm thinking about the character of Quellen.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she is subservient to one, like, mythical, otherworldly, like, control, right?
Mm-hmm.
She is subservient to the Ash Twin. Everyone else can not fuck off, but, like, everyone else, like, she'll take advice from, but mm-hmm. it's like she has to keep, you know, she keeps the Ash Twin in mind. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So we are using the resist then.
I think I'm going to resist it because I feel like it's most in character for her.
Okay. So you feel sort of like the mask sort of grab at your mind and you push it back, and then a voice goes, well, if you didn't want that, why'd you put the mask on? And then the mask falls off your face and lands on the ground, and then it raises up along with a stream of gold. As the mask levitates into a position where a face would be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the cane is positioned as though someone were holding the cane. And then the body is made out of gold coins on the ground, flowing into the shape of a body.
Sweet.
And the mask's like looks over, and it's like, I wish I had a hat to doff. Also, I wish they weren't shooting at us, but we all want things. A pleasure to meet your acquaintance. I'm Derek the Fourth.
I'm Quellen, and we need your help.
It does seem that way, doesn't it? Well, far from it from me to turn down a compatriot in the cause of making rich people unhappy. What are we doing here today?
Personally, I would like to burn this whole place down, but I think we would like to get out of here alive first. And also take a cut, maybe. I mean...
Sure. Well, the cut-taking I leave to you, I'm not particularly concerned. It's sort of like, it leans over and peeks out, and like a bullet streaks through and like knocks a few coins out of like the head. and a few more flow back into place. And it doesn't, it like, it notices, but barely seems bothered by this.
When I had a body, that would have singed.
Yeah, but back when I had a body, that would have been a headshot through my eye. But as is, eh. I was like, that is a lot of bullets. Your dog seems to be doing quite well, though.
Oh, okay. So she's actually making some contact. That's good.
Let's see. Well, I believe the most expedient way to go about this, Derek walks out, Narek walks out of the bank vault and twirls the cane and then points it at the ceiling and pushes something. And there's a boom, and the ceiling starts to cave in.
Hell yeah.
Oh, shit.
Meanwhile, the ancient wolf spirit has finally been dispatched of. They came up with something that could fight ghosts. They had a little vial, because it is not impossible that in this setting people would use ghosts, so they have to be prepared for that. But it is not the first thing they expect. It managed to take down 3 people before they got it. And currently they are sort of scrambling to get the gun trained back on the bank vault, but also there's a bunch of chunks of ceiling raining down and they can't really see shit. Chael is sort of like glancing about and is like, I think looks at Sarah and is like, do you know what's going on right now?
Beats me, really. Just saw that mask levitate and start shooting, so honestly, anything could happen now.
I need to get out of this city. And Delilah says, well, I suppose we should grab what we can and get out of here.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
All right.
And she hefts, she like breaks the glass to get at the fire axe and hefts it and starts like breaking open safety deposit boxes.
Let's see. Okay. The ceiling is collapsing in.
Specifically, and... I mean, it's reinforced in multiple places. It's not like dropping one part of the ceiling is going to drop all of it. So you are safe in the bank vault, and the Gatling gun people are safe on the stairs. It is mostly the ceiling, which, you know, also becomes the floor of the you know, the floor above, crumbling down. Because you are in the basement, of course. So.
Right. Okay. All right. So the idea, it sounds like you said, smash and grab and get out. I turn to the thief, the phantom thief, be like, first off, thank you.
Of course. That's what I do.
Second, I'm not sure about a second. I thought I had one. Listen, I know it. Like, listen.
Chaotic things are happening right now. Ceiling's falling down. We got a Gatling gun. We're in the middle of a high intensity situation.
Okay. I'm just thinking about things I can set on fire to, like, aid in our escape.
Hmm. Unfortunately, the way the vault is constructed, there's not a lot in here that would burn. I mean, there's documents, you know, if you want to burn a bunch of people's contracts.
Well, it is in the nature of fucking over the rich.
It is. It is.
What if you set the bullets on fire?
No, 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 no.
What? Setting the bullet cache on fire is a legit strategy.
I think we discussed this last
time. Yeah. Okay. Quellen doesn't have that kind of range with her flames.
No.
Well, I was thinking, like, you could set some papers on fire and then you could throw the papers.
Have you ever thrown a paper before, Jen?
Look, I'm just trying to think of...
bad ideas.
Okay. But I think... Quellen mostly just wants to create... Like, she's created an opening and just basically turns to Chael and's like, all right, get what you came here for and let's get out of here.
All right, she says. And she, like, first thing first, she picks up a bunch of contracts and starts crossing out names and writing Chael. Oh, who owns this estate? Oh, it's Chael. You know for a fact this will not work, but let Chael have her moment where she can dream.
I let her dream.
And then she's just you know, grabbing, you know, like, money and gold bars and stuff. And you're not sure where she's putting them. It's like she tucks them into her sleeve and then they're just sort of gone. But she's loading up.
Okay. Is there a way I can peek outside and see what, like, the opening that the thief has created for us?
Sure. I think that's pretty easy. You can find an angle where you can see it but not get shot by the Gatling gun. Basically, it appears to be a, I would say, like, a... trying to measure with my hands, looking up at my ceiling to get an idea. Sort of like an 8-foot by 8-foot, obviously not, like, perfectly square or round or anything, hole that goes up to the next floor.
Oh,
How much load have you declared, Jen?
I've declared 2 out of my 3 load.
Let's see. God damn it. Climbing gear is 2.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, maybe something with the burglary gear, but I guess that's more breaking locks and stuff than mm-hmm. anything you could climb with.
Because we really need a rope.
Yeah.
Because I don't think any of us have, like, an 8-foot vertical leap.
And we can't... No one here has abilities of levitation or anything like that, right?
Chael doesn't. You don't really know what Delilah can do.
Okay.
It would be unusual. For sure. Mm-hmm. But...
Hey,
go ahead.
I was gonna be like, "Hey, Delilah, do you know how to levitate?"
Oh my god,
I haven't practiced that one, I'm afraid.
Oh, okay.
She says rather deadpan.
What could we do to get out of here? Oh, I've got an idea.
Okay.
Our thief friend seems to have control over a whole lot of coins.
Okay.
We could get them to just continuously make 8 coins underneath us and push us to the top of that ceiling and climb out.
We would need a lot of coin for that, but this is a bank.
Yeah, and they also did kind of just generate a whole lot of coins really quickly.
Well, they didn't generate. There were coins on the table, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, look. How about this? We follow Delilah's lead. We continue to break open these safety deposit boxes and eventually we might have enough coins to just get up there. To just Scrooge McDuck our way up, you know?
I think Derek says, this is very creative, but why don't we just use a wire? And he points his cane and fires a wire up to there.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's always interesting to see the solutions people come up with.
We're a little under duress.
Ah, first time. I understand. It gets easier. Okay. Which is not innuendo. Don't be weird. She says, looking at Delilah.
Okay. So, is there a way I can, like, I was honestly just thinking of another of a bad idea myself.
Yeah.
Just like we need to create cover for ourselves, right? Like, to not be shot, like, going up the wire.
Uh-huh.
Like, maybe a gas pipe broke and I can create, like, a wall of flame or something.
I don't know why there would be gas in here, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they have, like you know, like, stoves or anything in here.
Not even... We're not in the era of, like, gas-powered lamps. Those are powered by something else.
They're electric at this point, yeah.
Would I be able to use my cloak and dagger ability to, like, shock them by my reveal to the point where we can just leave? Like, get out of there quickly?
Or,
I mean, you need to lay out your plan, but it's not impossible. Sure.
Okay. I was thinking that maybe there's enough stuff falling that I would basically sprint over to where the others are and be like, oh, thank God, I finally found an opening. I'm finally over here. And while they're not really paying attention to me or, like, while they're not suspicious of me, I just do something to immediately sabotage the situation and throw them into shock.
Okay, tell me what you're sabotaging, and we'll play this out.
I was thinking about sabotaging the Gatling gun.
Okay, how are you doing that?
Okay, so basically, what can get in the way of a Gatling gun's firing? Like,
well, Seto Kaiba used a card at one point.
Yeah, I would say the ways to impede it, you could impede the operators of the gun. You mm-hmm. could impede the firing mechanism. You could impede the ammunition feed. You could jam it. You could block the barrels. These are all varying levels of difficulty and effectiveness, but those are the things I can think of.
Do I still have some of my throwing knives with me?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it says it comes with 6. You have definitely not used 6, so.
Okay. Let's say that I use some of them to... I probably just need one of them, like... Just jam it into the loading mechanism so that the whole thing gets stuck.
And okay. And then, like, maybe we, like, using the wire, have attached, like, the end of it to you
mm-hmm.
and just zip you up, like...
Oh, yeah, that's a clever idea.
Like, after the other three have escaped...
Or, this is certainly elaborate. So, okay, first part. Sarah's running out to join the guards and playing innocent. Go ahead and roll a sway for me.
Okay, and would that count as a +1 roll since I'm using cloak and dagger?
When you're in use?
Yeah, sure. When yeah. You're using a disguise. So yes, you're using a disguise to deflect suspicion. Yeah, go ahead. Get your +1.
Okay, and that would be risky or desperate?
It's desperate at this point.
Okay.
The ceiling is collapsing and there's a Gatling gun that's been shooting at you.
Okay, desperate, standard, and then +1.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if I take a stress, I could do plus two, right?
Sure, but you're already getting three die. That's pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go with that then.
Okay.
Oh, fuck.
This is why we made it a multi-part rolls, because it was always possible that you would fail at the first roll.
Yeah, for the audience out there, I have rolled a 3, a 1, and a 2.
Maybe we really should have taken that stress.
Yeah, well, we're about to get some stress of our own in a different way. The stress of fucking up a roll.
So you can...
You get the mark experience.
You do get to... Or no, you get... not in this one. In this one, you get experience for... Well, it was a desperate roll. You're right. You do get experience for that. So you can you get failure is other engines. In this one, it's desperate rolls.
Okay.
I have been marking yours this session, by the way, so don't worry about that. Okay. I will remind you that you can resist consequences of failures. So I'm going to describe what would happen, and then you can choose to resist it if you want.
Okay.
I think you start running over, and you sort of quietly pull out your knife, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you start heading up the stairs towards them. And what happens is you're heading towards the thing, and you're like, oh, thank God, I finally got away from them. You wouldn't believe what it's been like. And you trip over one of the bodies that the team created before, and you fall, and the knife comes out of your hand. And so, one, it is revealed that you were running towards them holding a knife. And also, you've been using these throwing knives. That knife has blood on it.
Oh.
This sounds like you want to resist this consequence, Jennifer.
Yeah, I think I might want to resist this consequence.
Okay, that's going to be a prowess resistance, please.
Okay.
Don't trip.
No, you prowess.
Yeah, just click the prowess button.
No bonus dice.
Okay, you take one stress. I think you hit the body and you like stumble but catch yourself. And actually the stumbling works to your favor because you use the stumbling as an excuse to sort of like catch yourself on the Gatling gun and subtly push your knife into the ammo feed.
Excellent.
And they're like, oh my God, are you okay?
Yeah, it's been rough over there, but thankfully I seem to be in one piece. Gonna have a lot of stories to tell when we get home, huh?
Yeah, listen, the guys who guarded the vault were always assholes, but this... Shit, man. This is a lot.
Indeed.
All right, well, looks like they're trying to make a run for it. Let's wrap this up, shall we?
Yeah, let's get to it.
And they start to turn the crank on the Gatling gun. And the first couple of bullets whiz through. And then it catches. And the guy who's turning the crank, like the crank's not going anymore. He's like, the hell? And he pushes a little harder. And he pushes a little harder, and the handle snaps, and he stumbles forward, and the knife that was blocking it does snap at this point, because, you know, it's just a throwing knife. They're pretty lightweight. They're not built to be that sturdy. Mm-hmm. But that just means that the part, like, the handle and the bottom part of the blade sort of flies into the air. The tip of the blade that was poked in is now thoroughly caught in the machinery. No one's getting that out. It's unfortunately not that dramatic. The gun just won't fire anymore, right? Okay, what's part two of this?
Well, part two is, we use the wire to, like, make the escape, and then, like, I thought, like, the end of it, like, since it's, like, I assume, like, a type of razor wire or whatever. I mean, not razor wire.
Yeah, it's not used for cutting, but like
it's strong.
Yes.
Like the end of it was attached to like Ceres's belt. And we just, like, after the three of us have made it to the top side, we just yank the wire and bring her with us.
The problem is you're talking about three ends of the wire.
Mm.
Because you'd need one attached to the ceiling, or right. whatever you, that you're up above you, one down below for you to use to get up, and then one attached to Ceres.
What if we had a separate wire that, like, reeled me in before we deal with the grappling hook? Like,
or hold on, I have a better idea.
Yeah.
Like the cane was the firing mechanism, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like the cane is just auspiciously on the ground,
mm-hmm.
or something like that, and like Ceres like backs off and just goes like, later, boys, grabs the cane and zips up.
That'd be a bit of a that's a far travel.
That's a far travel.
I think it's a little too far for you to just, you know, give like the peace sign and duck.
Right. But in the confusion, okay, Jen has two in prowl.
I do, yeah.
Like while the guards are looking over the while the guards are looking over the Gatling gun,
mm-hmm.
maybe she can sneak off, like...
Well, let's start by having you, Quellen, roll for climbing up this wire. That seems okay. like the most logical starting point for all of this.
Yeah, so, totally.
That's probably a finesse. If you can make an argument for something else, I'll hear it. I just am not seeing any other skill that seems relevant.
I would argue maybe tinker, because I'm using a mechanical device.
I mean, if you want to, like, hold on to the cane and reel it in and then pass it back down, I can say that?
Yeah.
Okay, that works. Go for that, then.
Okay. Let's see. Risky or desperate?
Mm-hmm. Risky at this point because of Ceres's success, you know, jamming the Gatling gun has made the situation less dangerous.
Mm. No bonus dice?
No bonus dice.
Did it roll? 4.
Okay. Partial success, or aka success with a consequence.
Cool.
So I think you grab on to the thing and reel up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you drop down and then let the cane fall back down. And you're now up on the top floor. The top floor is now pretty much deserted. The guards that are left have all, like, any of the private security for this place have all responded already. The normal staff, like the tellers and the accountants, have evacuated when there started to be like Gatling gun fire. But you do observe that, let's see, how would you see this? I think it's just like one of the front doors is like ajar, right? Is open. Because people weren't opening and closing doors properly when they fled really quickly. Mm-hmm. And you can see that there are blue coats out there.
Okay.
Okay, from here, I guess, since I'm basically on the stairs now, aren't I?
Yes.
Maybe it'd be easier for me to just head up the stairs instead of taking the cane.
Yeah, probably would. If you want to make a prowl to try and slip upstairs quietly, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
And you get plus one because the disguise is still on, right?
Yeah.
Well,
I think it's a single-use thing, though, typically in these games.
It's not a single-use thing, but it is a case where you're sneaking. You're trying to slip out of the scene unnoticed is not a disguise thing.
Okay.
So.
Maybe I should take 2 stress, then.
The other thing you could do is, as you've noted with Cloak and Dagger, is you can throw off the disguise if you want to, and take that as a, basically it would guarantee your success on this roll, but then you wouldn't have the disguise anymore.
Yeah, and with blue coats outside, maybe I should keep the disguise.
It's your call.
Okay. I'm going to keep the disguise, and I'm just going to take 2 stress so I can make sure I nail this roll.
Okay.
And that's risky, right?
Yes.
Standard. Plus 1.
Fuck. Okay.
You got a 4.
I got a 1, 3, and a 4.
Okay. And I think they're just gathered around the machine, trying to get it to work again. One of them just has grabbed a rifle that they had with them to sort of like accompany the Gatling gun, and is pointing that in case they need to shoot while work is being done on the Gatling gun. They tried to get a shot on you as you went up, Quellen, but it was just too fast. They couldn't land the shot, so they didn't even fire.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah, as you slip upstairs. And I'm trying to think what the consequence will be here. What makes sense? What exactly did you do with the person who you're copying? I know we said you sort of like put them out of the way. What does that mean, really?
It was on the second floor, right?
No, you took secured them before coming here. The person who used your other side of the mirror to duplicate.
I'm pretty sure I just tied them up and left them in their home.
Okay. That's all right. That's an easy consequence then, which is I think we get a shot of the blue coats finding them in their home.
Okay.
So the blue coats, some of the blue coats will be clued into your disguise.
All right. That works.
I think Chael comes out and exchanges fires at the Gatling gun crew, and they fire at her, but she manages to zip up to the top floor. Well, not the top floor, the ground floor, I should say. Mm-hmm. Delilah throws a smoke bomb and does the same, Narek just sort of like turns back into a flow of coins and runs along the wire.
Ooh.
And then reforms and zips up the wire, and the cane is like zipping up behind them because it's been triggered to sort of like, you know, to pull someone up, but there's no one holding on to it. So the coins zip up the line and then reform as a person with the arm held up as the cane zips into the roof, the ceiling where the line is attached, and it snaps the line back in and falls into Narek's waiting hand. And Narek says, "Now, what next?"
I have an idea to scare off the blue coats.
Yeah.
It's a goofy idea, but it's an idea.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I can declare is robes and vestments.
Go ahead.
You know that scene in The Princess Bride where they set like the robes on fire and pretend that the Dread Pirate Robert
boy. Yeah, I know the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, say it out loud. Finish your thought, please.
I'm going to finish my thought, and you're going to tell me it's a stupid thought, but you know what? Listen. Have Narek wear the robes and vestments. I set them alight. And he, like, Narek gives some sort of, like, grand speech. And we slip out.
If you want to try that, I'll figure out what you're rolling.
But I'm open to other ideas.
Yeah, well, the other idea I had was on a similar line, except basically just have one of us put the mask on and act like the reincarnation of this person and then run away.
We have the reincarnation. Well, not even the reincarnation. We have the real deal.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that Gold probably can't run that far. Human legs can, so we could send them on a wild goose chase while the rest of the crew escapes. The fire thing works too, though.
It does it? I don't know. I'm questioning it.
I guess it all depends on whether our friend here wants to put themselves in a position where they would probably get caught.
But they're the Phantom Thief. They have the tools, and they're more experienced than us.
True, but we're also, like, painting even an even larger target on their back than what they had when they were just, like, a cane and a mask.
Okay.
We could try it, though.
Hold on.
Okay.
So, okay. I just want to recap the situation we are in.
Okay.
Saris's costume is compromised, if we're using, like, kind of Hitman terms here. It's compromised amongst some of the blue goats, right?
Yes.
If I look closely enough, I'll see a little white dot over some of their heads.
Sure. We have whatever happened to that ghost dog. The ghost dog's been dealt with, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. The guards took care of it.
Chael is with us. Delilah is with us. And we have... the thief is with us.
Mm-hmm.
What is... But the blue coats aren't aware of our presence yet, right? They're just standing by, like, at the front of this building.
I think they know a robbery is in progress.
Right. I mean, I figured they knew that, at the very least. But they don't know how many people are there.
No, I don't see why they would know that, no.
Okay.
It's funny that I can see you opening and closing item tabs. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah,
I saw you looking through my own abilities when I was considering what to do.
Well, okay. I pulled off, several episodes ago, Quellen pulled off a miracle. Or kind of a miracle. They called upon the Ash Twin and channeled somebody else's power. Or channeled... what was our dog's name again? I'm sorry.
That was, like, Bale.
Bale, that's right. Like, channeled Bale's power to create, like, this massive, like, flame to deal with the blue coats, right?
Yes.
And, like, I think in this moment, Quellen is desperately... racking her mind as to, like, how can I pull that off again? Realizing that this is, like you said, a desperate... This is you know, this is desperate for us, right?
Sure.
And we have a whole lot of, there's a whole lot of blue coats, and we don't have a whole lot of resources.
I mean, what exactly are you trying to do? And like, as in, not like, what do you want to happen? I mean this very directly, because if you are trying to draw upon the Ash Twins' power, probably the way this is going to work is that you will try to do something and make it more, and something unexpected will happen. Right?
Right.
So what are we doing to make more? What is the thing that is being magnified? What course of action?
I think what course of action is, what the course of action is, Quellen thinks, like, if only I had, like, I'm trying to think how to word this. If Quellen had a, like set the, like, set, like, a door on fire, right?
Okay.
To create this moment of panic amongst the, like, blue coats, because they're only expecting, you know, a robbery. They're not expecting arson.
Okay, I see.
And I think Quellen really, really wishes that, like, she could just, like, I'm imagining we're, like, this is not the mechanic flashback, but, like, we're flashing back to, like, moments in Quellen's, like, childhood in which she found more comfort by a flame than she found in comfort in other places, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's always been drawn to it by, like, the way it wisps and bends, and would often, like, camp out into the woods to make a campfire just to, like, feel close to it. Because she knows that, I mean, and there's always been this mystique of, like, she knows she cannot touch it, you know, because it would, you know, hurt her, but wants to be close to it, be a part of it. And really desperately wishes there was that comforting flame.
Why don't you roll rec for me and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
You don't have any stress you can spend, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Risky. What's the effect?
Risky standard. I mean, the thing about effect is only if you're using a very strict definition of the rule does it matter. You know, I'm gonna say what I'm gonna say. You could think of it as great. Doesn't really matter.
Three.
Okay. So the doors here are like, they're like stone and metal, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not particularly flammable. And you walk up to them and you pull out you sort of like, you know, do the motion you do to sort of summon your blessed fire.
Mm-hmm.
And you apply it to the door and it's not, you know, it's not doing it. And you sort of push harder and the flame gets hotter, but it's still, you know, you're still trying to burn stone, right?
Right.
And you push harder. And this sort of continues for a bit. You continue escalating beyond what you've escalated before, I think. And then you do feel like a sort of a comforting warmth, right? It is all like you can feel it brushing at your face. And Ceres, you and the others can see that the bandages that are wrapped around Quellen have caught fire. And Quellen,
mm-hmm.
the fire in your hands starts to flicker, but in a different, not like flicker like a flame that is like being blown by wind and having trouble. It starts to flicker as it starts burning into, like, it starts to get more of a like ghost realm element to the flame as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you push harder, and the door starts to burn, as does the air around you and the walls. And you don't see the building anymore. You can see the fire. You can see the smoke. You can see the versions of this building that once were standing on this place. Because, of course, as you are inhaling the smoke, matchstick puzzle is kicking in to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing how this bank that was once on the verge of bankruptcy, it was specifically a bank that was like serving to, because you'd think this is from a district that was rich and then poor and is on its way to slowly perhaps becoming rich again. Mm-hmm. And you'd think this was from the time when it was first rich. It's not. It's from the time when this was poor, and it was like a credit union basically for like local like sailors and miners. And it went on the verge of bankruptcy, and their only opportunity to keep it in business was to sort of like do this spin and try and attract richer customers. And in so doing, the nature of their business changed, and it's just sort of been a slide since then to what it has become now. These doors were honestly a fairly recent addition. But they're connected to the building, and through the building you see the history.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of step forward through the smoke. And Sarah, as you see Quellen step forward, and the door just evaporates into ash as they step where it would be. And the blue coats raise weapons. But Quellen keeps walking forward as though she doesn't see them, which indeed she doesn't, as the air around her boils and burns. And the flames get hotter. And finally, you have to look away, both from the heat and from like the brightness of the flames there, as you can't even, you have to avert your gaze. And finally, it starts to die down, and you look, and Sarah's is lying unconscious on the ground, and...
You mean the Quellen is.
Sorry, yes, excuse me. Quellen is lying unconscious on the ground, and the blue coats are just charred skeletons, and the whole front of the bank is gone.
Holy shit.
And it is raining ash now.
Well, I guess we got our wish. We did burn the place down.
Well, it was somebody's wish.
And I think, you know, you have a moment to sort of like glance around now that you're not mesmerized by the sight, Sarah's, and Narek the Fourth is gone. Delilah is gone. And Chael quickly realizes the take is gone. But you have an opportunity to get out, at least.
I guess we make tracks and get out of here then. But... Oh, one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are her bandages still on fire?
I imagine they have been like
yeah every
like I imagine. Here's what I'm imagined if I may. Six, if I may.
Oh, yeah, of course. I was just waiting for it. Yeah.
Okay. I imagine what happened was, like, the bandages were, like... She's not ashamed of these, but, like, it is something, like, a little unsightly. Like, these are these, like, burns on her arms, right? Mm-hmm. That represent her connection with the Ash Twin. And they are, like, I feel like I'm getting the feeling that Quellen channeled the Ash Twin, like, incredibly powerfully in this moment,
mm-hmm.
right? And... those bandages have been burned away, and you just see, like, little vape, like, trails of smoke coming from, like, these, you know, wisps and turns that are on her, on Quellen's arms.
Oh, I meant Quellen's face. Like, her face was on fire for a bit, and I was just making sure that her face was okay now.
Oh, I mean, I don't know.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Okay. All right, then. I say we get out of here as soon as we can.
I'm currently unconscious.
Yeah, I guess I'll scoop you up and see if I can take you somewhere.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Well, you you get out to safety. I think Chael has a moment where Chael is like, okay, well... the deal was we'd split the take. So if you want to find Delilah, get your take. Otherwise, I don't have any money for you.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to decide whether we want to take care of Delilah or not.
Though, of course, she's going by Elizabeth at the moment, but, you know.
Right. I, like, Quellen called her Delilah because that was the name she knew her as.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I...
but this is, like, who knows how many names deep Elizabeth is at this point.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably an occasion for a new name.
Yeah. And I'm guessing she didn't really leave anything that we could use to track her down.
Of course not. No, she's a professional.
Okay. I guess it's a see you when you see a situation then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so. And, you know, I don't know if we'll ever see Sarah's again. You know, up to you.
We'll see.
But
yeah.
But you know, job's done, right?
Job's done.
All right. Well, I don't know.
What?
Sorry. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say I wanted to compliment your ability to paint like a word picture with like what was happening with Quellen channeling the Ash Twin.
Yeah, it's a situation where you were in the district where, you know, the sun was in a period where, you know, all these connections are stronger and that shit goes gnarly sometimes.
Right. And I'm just saying that was cool as hell.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so I don't know when we'll be back with Ghosts of Parliament. It might be a little while. This was our little intermission game. And I think next we're going to be playing a new campaign with some other friends. You know, we'll definitely come back to this at some point, you know, perhaps sooner than I think. This stuff is always loosely planned.
Yeah. But I think this was like really cool and it like has interesting implications for like the world itself, mm-hmm. because like, I like the idea that in like our interpretation of the world, like, the connection to the gods is getting stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes people like Quellen like become more powerful but more uncontrollable.
Yeah, because it's honestly easier for people who aren't used to that, right? Because they can have, they're like, okay, what does it mean to have, these people who haven't had this connection before go, okay, what does it mean to have a connection to a god? And they figure it out. But for people like Quellen, who've had it for a while, they feel like they know what it means. And now they're doing stuff and the results are different.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But thank you so much for joining us, everyone. Another episode of Scanline Tabletop. And until next time, folks, peace.
See ya.
spooky, scary skeletons.
Right, I forgot. Thank you, Kyrie.
It's all good.
Especially because we ended with you turning a bunch of people into spooky, scary skeletons.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Later.